I know you feel like I do. It's great to look on that second row and see Andre there with Brenda and the boys. And we have missed you almost as much as they have. Great to have you here for a while. And we pray that things are going to work out where you can be home even more. It's great to have you, Andre. God bless you. Have I got good news for you tonight? Normally when I say something like that, I follow up with, it may be a short sermon. Not going to make that promise tonight. But it may happen. It may happen. The good news is this. The good news is, no matter how old you are, no matter how bad your health may be, no matter how unathletic you may be, the good news is, you can run like a champion. The good news is, you can run to win. Now that is what Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 is all about. No matter what might be the case physically, we can run like a champion the race of faith because of Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews begins like a speech, like an oration. It's very eloquent in the way it begins. Then the book of Hebrews will sound like a sermon. You look there in Hebrews chapter 11, and the writer of Hebrews says, "Time would fail me." That's a preacher statement if ever there were one. Amen, Adam? All right. You see things like this, then you get to the end of Hebrews, and Hebrews sounds like a letter. And so this book is all about Jesus and His gospel are better. Jesus and His gospel are better. Better than the Old Testament with its priesthood and sacrifices. Better than anything that it might be compared to. Jesus and His gospel, quite simply, are better. This book is called a word of encouragement. Catch that. A word of encouragement in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 22. What's happening is this. There are a number of Christians from a Jewish background that are contemplating going back to Judaism. They are thinking about leaving Jesus and the gospel of the New Testament and going back to what they knew, because by doing this, they would be able to avoid persecution. They'd be able to avoid some suffering and difficulty. This book is about patient endurance. And as a matter of fact, if you look at Hebrews 12, 1, 2, and 3, in all three verses, you will see the word patience or the word endurance. Each of those three verses. What they needed to do was patiently endure. Hebrews 10 and verse 36. And sometimes we get discouraged. And sometimes we feel weighed down by the affairs and difficulties of life. But Hebrews is written to encourage us to keep on keeping on. We can run like a champion. We can run like a winner because of Jesus. Now, what Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 does is it gives you and me a four-part strategy for running. Would you like to know how to run like a champion? Would you like to know how to run like a winner? Well, that's what Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 is all about. This four-part strategy. The first part of the strategy is this. Consider the winners. Consider the winners. Being encompassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us. seeing we are encompassed by so great a crowd of witnesses. Catch that from Hebrews 12:1. Consider the winners. Well, that takes us back to Hebrews 11. And Hebrews 11 is that great chapter on the hall of faith, where one example after another is given. And here's what's happening in Hebrews. Example after example is given of characters in Hebrews 11 who ran the race faithfully, who anticipated the fact that the Messiah, that the Savior would come, and they lived in view of that in God's teaching at the time. Then you get to Hebrews chapter 12. And he goes from example to encouragement. He goes from history to present. He goes from the past to real time, right now, to exhort everyone. This great cloud of witnesses, the idea is, think of it this way, this is a sporting event, and these are people that have already completed their race, but they've done it and won. And it's not so much that they're looking down on us from heaven and cheering us on. The idea is more that we can look to them and their example. Think about this. In Romans 15 and verse 4, the things that were written before time were written for our learning, that we through patience, there's that word, and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So all of those examples from the Old Testament given in Hebrews 11 are just divine testimony to the fact that the way of faith is victorious. It gives us victory. That faith is indeed the victory that overcomes the world. Consider the winners. And when you look at Hebrews chapter 11, so many of those characters were flawed. And the Bible tells us something about their flaws. So again, no matter your age, no matter what kind of shape you're in, no matter how athletic or unathletic you may be, you can run like a champion. You can run to win. Consider those who've won before. Most of them are quite relatable when you think about it. Number two, a second strategy. Consider yourself. Consider yourself. Consider those who have completed the race and won, and look to them as examples that this is something that they accomplished and we can too. It's good to know when someone else has done what they can and you know they're victorious, we can look to them and emulate something of their lives and faith. But here it's talking about consider yourself. And he says, let us. Now, part of the corny preacher in me wants to say that the writer of Hebrews' favorite vegetable is lettuce. Let us, let us. Because it occurs in virtually every chapter. This is a book of encouragement. It's a book of exhortation. So it only makes sense that he's going to be talking about lettuce at some point. And here he is talking about lettuce right here. Let us. That means each and every one of us who wears the name of Christ. He's pleading with us. Let us run. We're involved in a race. More about that in a moment. Let us run with strategy. Notice the strategy. Consider yourself. Let us run with patience. The word here for patience in the original language has to do with patience with circumstances. Circumstances are seldom all that we would want them to be. Amen to that? But we can run with patience. And then it says, prior to that, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight. Andre, did you bring a whole lot of luggage with you for your visit? You've learned something about traveling light because you've traveled a lot through the years. You know what? I travel a lot by air, and it always amazes me because I think I'm a smart traveler by now. I've done it enough. But I invariably carry too much with me. I know in a few days we're going to be traveling to Kentucky, going by air. I'll think about it and I'll think, I'm traveling light. And yes, I do travel quite light most of the time, but I always end up taking a little more than I really needed. But that's a whole lot better than some people in an airport because some people overpack, and guess what? You get to pay extra for that privilege of overpacking, don't you? Even if you fly Southwest and have more than two bags, they're going to happily charge you for another bag. I wonder how many of us are weighed down. How many of us have a difficult time running a life of faith because we're just weighed down by circumstances and baggage that we're carrying with us? It really impedes our ability to run faithfully, doesn't it? And then he says, the sin that so easily ensnares us. Lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily snares us. Things that weigh us down make running difficult. And things that trip us up can make running difficult too. You know, almost every Olympics, it seems, when it occurs, almost, at some point, someone trips up in the races. Think about that. Too much weight, excess baggage, and somebody or something tripping us up. Consider yourself. What is it that tends to trip me up when it comes to running and being faithful to God? What is it that tends to weigh me down? Consider yourself. That brings me to a third strategy. Consider the race. Consider the race. Like it or not, Christianity is spoken of as a race. 1 Corinthians 9:24. We ought to compete according to the rules, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. Compete fairly. Some people, excessive weight. Some people, tripping others up. Marring the race. Some people try to cheat. God is aware of all the above, isn't He? Consider the race. Here's something that's kind of interesting. In a race, we need to consider the fact that it's not a sprint. It's not the 40-yard dash. The race is kind of a marathon for most of us, isn't it? It's grueling. There are times when it's just really hard to keep going. Consider the race. Paul would write, "You did run well. Who did hinder you from obeying the truth?" Galatians 5 and verse 7. Paul at the end of his life says, "I have run a good race." 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Are you running a good race? Consider the race. Let me offer some suggestions for running the race. Very practical ones. First of all, consider the place of pace. Consider the place of pace. You have to properly pace yourself so that you still have something in your tank to get to the finish line. We think of the old story of the tortoise and the hare, don't we? The place of pace, if it is a marathon and not a sprint, the fact is a lot of us have known Christians who live their life at full blast like it was a sprint, only to not make it to the finish line faithfully. Beware. Consider the place of pace. Secondly, don't be weighed down. Don't be weighed down. I suspect a lot of us as Christians would be a lot more blessed with less. More blessed and less stress with less stuff. Sheree and I talk about that sometimes. She even talked about us maybe getting one of those, you may have heard about them, one of those tiny homes that you could just fold up and take with you from place to place. I said, wouldn't that be great in West Texas when it's a little windy? But we talked about it. Because sometimes in all of the acquisitions of life, and man, it happens, doesn't it? Stuff accumulates. Don't get weighed down. It'll keep you from running as faithfully as you'd like. Don't get tripped up. Don't get tripped up. Sometimes people get tripped up because they're too busy focusing on something else. Don't get tripped up. Again, don't get distracted. Don't get distracted. In the Christian race, we can start looking at how other people are running. I could look at how Adam's running, or how Terry's running, or how Brother Lynn's running, or how Jim Lorenz is running, or Steve Horton. What I need to be considering the race itself, me running the race, and my Lord. Have you ever found yourself getting concerned about other people in the race to such a degree you forgot and you were distracted? Here's another word of wisdom. Don't allow yourself to get discouraged for long. It's a marathon, and no one runs a marathon without hitting the wall, as they call it. Few people can do a marathon without having some point when they just wonder if they're going to be able to keep on going. It's hard. A distracted runner, a discouraged runner, is a defeated runner. Think about that. But this is a race we cannot afford to lose because the Lord has already done so much to make victory possible. another word of counsel. Keep your focus on Jesus. Keep your focus on Him. Don't focus on the devil. Don't focus on how hard the race is. Don't focus on other people primarily. Focus on the Lord. Which brings me to the last of the four strategies. Consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. The expression is looking to Jesus. Fasten your eyes on Him, be locked on Him, and don't let anything divert your attention away from Him. Looking to Jesus. And then it says He's the author. It's a term that means trailblazer, the pioneer, the one who made the way possible for us to have victory and triumph. The author and finisher. When Jesus was on the cross, He said, "It is finished, paid in full," John 19:30. Then He said, "Father, into Your hands I commit My spirit," Luke 23 and verse 46. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And because of Him, we can be more than conquerors, Romans 8 and verse 37. And then the passage goes on to say of Jesus, who for the joy set before Him. You think about the song we just sang before Mike got up to preach tonight. Higher ground. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on it. If by faith in heaven, heaven's tableland. Think about that. Consider Jesus for the joy set before Him. I delight to do Your will, O God. Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8. It says, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. He endured the cross. He endured. He endured. Because He endured, we can endure victoriously. He endured the cross, despising the shame, dying for our sins, bearing our sins on the cross, and is seated at the right hand of God. The one who is at God's right hand is the one who makes victory possible. He's the one that makes it possible for us to run like champions, to run to win. The lesson is yours. You may be physically a very fast person. I have a granddaughter here that's really fast and hard to keep up with. But as fast as she is, nobody has ever won a race quite like Jesus. And He's the one that makes it possible for us to be winners too. If you leave this building tonight lost, it will be in spite of everything Jesus has done to make you a winner and a champion. And if you as a Christian leave this building overwhelmed and really struggling to endure, you need to focus on the one who endured so that we could win. You'll never regret it. Let us stand and sing.